to Kedushin Daf Yud Ches, and we will begin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the fourth wide line. Says the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa in our previous year, a Nirtza, whenever every who's a Nirtza or a Nimkal of Kechavim who is sold to a Kechavim, ain't a Oivet Loyas Aben Loyas Abbas. If the owner should die, he doesn't work not for the son nor for the daughter. Nirtza. How do we know that a Nirtza doesn't work for a son or daughter? The Ksiv. Terotza Adonavis of Oznam Matseoi Vavodai La'olam. Vavodai teaches that he works for the owner. However, for Loyas Aben Vesabas, not for the son nor for the daughter. Continues the Braisa. Nimka Lavid Kechavim Minayim. How do we know that the din also applies? That if ever Ivri was sold to a guy, that he doesn't work for the children of the guy? Amar Chizki Amar Kra. The pasuk discusses that redemption of the Ever Ivri who was sold from the guy based on the price that was paid for him. And the pasuk says, V'chishev im kuneu. They make a calculation with the purchaser. Says the Gemara, Kaneu, specifically with the buyer, such a calculation is made, V'loyim Yarsha Kaneu, not with the Yarshim of the purchaser, for they do not Yarshin, inherit the Eved Ivri. The Rishash points out that when the Braisa discussed an Eved Ivri who was sold to a Jew, or an Amavri who sold to a Jew, and teaches us that under certain circumstances they don't work for the Yarshim, the Braisa uses the words Loyas Aben v'Loyas Abbas. Whereas when the Braisa discusses one who was sold to a guy, there the Braisa uses the words V'Loy Im Yarshim Kineu, not Ben Ubas, rather Yarshim. And the question is why? And the answer of the Rishash serves as an excellent introduction to the next sugya we're going to learn. The answer, says the Rishash, is that as we're about to learn, there are halachas of Yerusha that apply by a guy. However, as we know, by a Jew, a son Yarshins inherits before a daughter. By a guy, Hilchas Yerusha teaches us that all Yarsh, that a son and a daughter inherit from their father, and they inherit equally. Son doesn't come before a daughter. Now we can understand the wording of the Braisa. By a Jew, it says, Loyas Aben Vasabas, because the son comes before the daughter. However, by a guy, it says, Im Yarshay Kaneu, it says, the Yarshim of the purchaser, because sons and daughters are both equal. So says the Gemara, Amarava. A guy inherits from his father. Shenemar, as the pasuk we just learned, teaches us. This calculation is made with the buyer. Not with the yarshim of the buyer. Obviously, this la yarshim, that there are yarshim. And as the Rishonim explain, we need to know that there are yarshim. For as, let's say, a Jew was holding on to an item that belonged to a guy, and then the guy died, the halach is the Jew must return it to the guy's yarshim, because a guy has yarshim, as we just learned. Clearly, as we explained a moment ago, the sons and daughters of a guy are his yarshim. The question is, as we know by a Jew, if a Jew, Rahman al-Tzlan, doesn't have any sons and daughters, then there's a succession of yarshim, as we will learn in Mitzvah and Masechet Baba Basra, father, brothers, uncles. The question is, do those dinim also apply by goyim? That if a goy doesn't have a son or a daughter, do his other relatives yarshin him? And actually, it's a machloikis harishonim. The Rambam seems to say that medaraisa, yerusha of a goy, is only by children. Other dina yerusha, the Rambam uses the words, is lefim and hogim, only following the custom of the land. And Rabbi Chanan brings a very nice raya to the Rambam's opinion. Because we all remember the Torah, where Avraham Avinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I won't have any children, Eliezer will be my heir. And the question is, Avraham had brothers, if there's Yerusha by Goyim to brothers, so his brothers would have inherited from him. It must be that Yerusha is only to children, not to anyone else. However, there are other Rishonim, the Meiri and the Ramban, they disagree, and they say that Hilchos Yerusha, as by us, is not limited to children, so too by Goyim. Continues Rava, Ger is Oiv Kechavim, a Ger, somebody who was Megai himself, but his father is still a Goy, that Yerusha is Enim Dever Torah, El Medever Seferim. He yashins his father only Midarabonon, not Midaraisa. Because we know the rule is, Gershin is Geyer, Kekotin, Shanoi Ladami. So, halachically, this Ger has no relation to his father. And therefore, Midaraisa, he doesn't yash from him. It's only Midarabonon. The Tanan, if we have a situation, teaches us the Mishnah, Sechta Demai. Ger Vav Kechavim, Shiyoshus Avia Avid Kechavim. They had a father who was a Goy, and he died, and the son who became a Ger, it's a biological son, but not a halachic son, and a Goy. So the Ger says the Mishnah, Ger Yochalayim Lev Kechavim, the Ger could tell the Goy, Tol At Avod Kechavim Animos. The father left over Avod Zara, which obviously the Ger, the Jew, cannot have any benefit from. So he tells his biological brother, you take the Avodah Zarah, and I'll take money. Or you tell out to Yai Nesach, you take Yai Nesach, from which I may not benefit, but I need payrus, and I'll take fruit. However, Mishabal Lushus Ger, if the Avodah Zarah, however, ends up by the Ger, then the halach would be usur, he can't do any business and trade with the Avodah Zarah. Now says the Gemara, this Al-Kadach Daraisa, if we'd say that this, that the Ger inherits from his father's Midaraisa, Kiloi Bala Rishus Oinami, even if they did not yet come into his Rishus, he shouldn't be allowed to benefit from making this type of a transaction. Kishakal, Halufa Chach Avais Kacham Hudishakal, isn't he doing business? Isn't he making a transaction with the Avodah Zarah? Ella, it must be Midrabanan, that the entire Yerusha is Midrabanan. And why did Rabbanan say that there should be, that the Ger Tzedek should inherit from his father? Gzeiru David Rabbanan, it's a special enactment that Chazal made, Shem Yachsel Surah. So Taisu says, why don't we say that the reason that he could give it back is because of Breira, and say that if it didn't come to his Rishus, it's Huvra Hadover, it's obvious that it was never his. So as Taisus, if we're going to follow the concept of Breira, then it shouldn't make a difference if it came to his Rishus or it didn't come to his Rishus. Breira teaches us that it retroactively was identified never to be his. The Gemara does make a difference if it came to his Rishus or not, obviously we're not following the concept of Breira. Other Rishonim say that there is no Havamina to follow the concept of Breira here, for they say that when we're talking about two different Minim, money and Avodah Zarah, money and Yain Nesach, we never could apply the concept of Breira. Reb Baruch Tam, based on this Gemara, says that if we have a regular case of Yerusha, where there are two Yarshim inheriting things from someone who passed away, and one of the items that's in the estate is something that one brother can have use from, and the other brother has absolutely no use, and he goes on to say, not only does he not have any use, nor can he even sell it. So Hilchos Yerusha teaches us that the brother who needs it, who could use it, should take it, and the other brother should take something in his place. I also saw a tshuva from Ramosha. Ramosha speaks about a Jew who was in prison over Pesach, and the meals that are being served are chametz, and we know that a Jew is now at a benefit from chametz, and if the chametz becomes his on Pesach, he can't use it. Says Ramosha, what is permissible, as is obvious in our Gemara, is what he could do is that before Pesach, he should tell a goy, I won't even pick up, I won't take the meal that I receive. the chametz meal that I received that I'm not allowed to have any benefit from, you could have it. That Rav Moshe says will be permitted. But if the Jew actually takes the chametz meal and then wants to give it away, that would be also, because once he received the meal, he's not allowed to have any benefit from it. So the Gemara says that what's the reason that Rabbanan made this gzeira? Because we're concerned that if not, we're afraid that he's going to go back to his old ways. And as Tosfos explains, not that he could leave the Jewish fold. Once he's Jewish, he remains Jewish. But he may not realize that. And he's going to be upset that he's losing out by being a Jew and relinquish his Judaism. Another pshat is, we don't want him to be angry about being Jewish, because realizing that by being Jewish he might have lost out, and he might have lost out on a decent inheritance. That's why Chazal made this gzeira. Furthermore, I saw another interesting tshuva from Moshe that he uses this concept to discuss another shaila. As we just said, gershon is gayer kikotn shenor adami. A ger is not halachically, he's not considered a child of his biological non-Jewish parents. Not a question, and the Paiskim all say, a Ger Tzedek should avoid too much contact with his biological parents. They're not Jewish, and they're not acting that way. And this person is a Jew. And he and his children should therefore have less contact with their biological non-Jewish grandparents. However, says Rav Moshe, let's say they take ill, these biological grandparents, and they want to see their children and their grandchildren. Certainly, says Rav Moshe, specifically, after we now learn in our Gemara the concept of Shemiyach Tavol Suray, if we won't let this person have contact with biological parents or grandparents, it's a very difficult thing, and they should go and visit. Tani Nami Hachi, continues the Braisa. Medvar Mamurim, when is this concern, when do we have this difference? Kishiyarshu. So if they yashin, they should be careful. The goyish brother should take the Avodah Zarah, and the other one should take the other items. Ab Nishtatu, if you have two partners, Osir, they're not allowed to do that because he's having benefit from Avodah Zarah. Continues Rava. Ovik Achavim Sager. If Ovik Achavim yashins from his father, who you have a goy and the father is a ger, or ger is a ger. We have a family, a father and a son, we're gayer together. There ain't a loy medivrei Torah v'loy medivrei Sofrim. There's no Yerusha, not medarais and not medrabbanan. Vitnan, as we learned in the Braisa, love and mos men a ger. If somebody borrowed money from a ger, shenis gayer bot of imoy, even though this ger's children converted along with him, lo yachs lebanav, he shouldn't return the money to this ger's children. From hechser, and if he does, ain't ruach hachamim noichim menu. Chazal, the chachamim are not satisfied with this. Rashi explains ain't ruach hachamim noichim menu doesn't mean to say that he shouldn't. Just what the Gemara means to say is that he doesn't have to. However, I saw another pshat that he shouldn't, because there are mefarshim that want to suggest if I have money that I don't have to give to someone else, and then I go and give that money to someone else, what I'm essentially doing is I'm diminishing my estate and hurting my yoshim, and that's why ein ruach hachamim noichemenu. As the Gemara v'atani, we learned in the Braisa, giving back is ruach hachamim noichemenu. Chachamim are satisfied with that. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. And first we're going to explain the Gemara's teretz as Rashi explains it. Kan shayrosa v'lei dosoi shloi b'kedusa, v'kan shayrosa shloi b'kedusha v'lei dosoi b'kedusha. As Rashi explains it as follows. Sometimes you have a situation where ger becomes a ger, and before he became a ger, his wife conceived a child, but by the time the child was born, his parents were already ger. And then you have a situation where both the conception and the birth took place prior to the gerus. So Rashi says, in the case where the birth took place after the gerus, so people will believe that he is a full-fledged Jew. And then if we see that we don't give him Yerusha, people will think that we're ignoring Hilchus Yerusha, which is of course inappropriate. And therefore, Ruach HaKamim Noichemenu, we should give it to him. On the other hand, if both the conception and the birth took place before he was Jewish, so it's obvious that this is not a child lahalacha, and therefore ein ruach chachamim nochemenu. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos takes just the opposite approach. Tosfos says that in a case where he was hayrasa shloim bekedusha v'lei dasa bekedusha, so people will believe, if he also gets Yerusha, people may come to make a mistake and believe that he's a full-fledged child, which he really isn't. And they'll maybe make the mistake of letting him do even Yibum, which he may not do. Therefore, Chazal say, don't give back the Yerusha, to make it clear that he is not really a halachic child. In the other case, nobody's going to come to make a mistake when it was both Herosa, Veleidosa, Shlabi Kedusha, and therefore, Chazal said, you could give back the money. Rav Chiya by Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan has a different source to teach us that there's Yerusha by Akum Midaraisa. Ovik Chavim Yerush is Ovid Va Torah, the Ksiv, Ki Yerusha La Esav Nosati Is Harseya. The Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Esav got a Yerusha Harseya. So we see Esav is a Goy, and he got a Yerusha. Ask the Gemara, we can't bring a proof from there. But Dabma Yisrael Mumashani. Esav was a Yisrael Mumar. That's why he's different. So the Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Most Rishonim explain the Gemara. The fact that Esav received the Yerusha is a proof that Esav was a Jew. That there's Yerusha by Goyim. And the Gemara says Esav was a Jew. And in fact, the Ramban says, from this Gemara we see that people who acted in the Derech Yisrael, even before Matan Torah, the Gemara considers them Yisrael. Otherwise, why does the Gemara call Esav and the others a Yisrael? The Rosh has a different approach to the Gemara. The Rosh explains that the fact that Esav's children inherited from Esav is a proof that there's Yerusha by Akum. But the Mefarshim ask, that's the Rosh's approach. Ask the Marit on the Rosh, Esav's children were Goyim, because Esav married non-Jewish women. So what does the Gemara say, Yisrael Muma? They weren't Yisrael, they were Goyim. So the Rashash wants to suggest that Esav's wives were Megayim, and therefore they were, Esav's children were considered Jewish, which the Mefarshim question, because you know that the Pasuk says that Esav's wives were Moras Ruach. They were disappointing to Yitzchak and Rivka. But if they were Megayim, why were they disappointed? So another teretz that I saw, an interesting teretz, based on a Ramban, that even though we know the halacha is that the identity, if someone is considered a Jew or a non-Jew, is based on his mother. As long as his mother is Jewish, then he's Jewish. However, that was only after Matan Torah. Prior to Matan Torah, a child born from mixed marriage, whether the father or the mother was Jewish, would identify the child as Jewish. And therefore, even if Esav married non-Jewish women, his children would still be considered Jewish. Rav Chiya bar Oven gives a different explanation how we know there's Yerusha by Akum Midaraisa. Al-Mahacha, because the Pasuk says, Klevnei Loit, Loit clearly was not Jewish, Nusati is all Yerusha. Ask the Gemara, Rav Chiya bar Oven, my Tamla Rav Karava, why doesn't he agree with Rav's explanation of a Chishav im Kaneu? Answer the Gemara, Miksiv, V'chishav im Kaneu V'loi Yerusha Kaneu. If the Pasuk would have been explicit, teaching us that the Yerushim are excluded, it would be a very wonderful source. But the Pasuk doesn't explicitly mention Yerushim, so we don't have a proof that there are Yerushim by Goyim. The Rava asked the Gemara, my Tamalik Amik Rav Chiya bar Oven, why doesn't he agree with Rav Chiya bar Oven's explanation that the basis is Loit? Says the Gemara, Loit was a whole different situation. B'shem Kfoid Davram Shani, Loit, the reason he was free, the reason Loit received the Yerusha was because of he was Avram, of his nephew, and we find that he treated under certain circumstances Avram properly, and that's why he was deserving of a Yerusha. Continues the Gemara, Tanur Abonin, Yesh be every shame bevriya. There are certain halachs that apply by Eved Ivri, not by Om Avriya. Yesh bevri yishayim beivri. And there are certain halachs that apply by Om Avriya that don't apply by Eved Ivri. Yesh beivri, what does that mean? Shu yoytz b'shonim u b'yoyvel misas adam. After 6 years, an Eved Ivri goes out. By Yoyvel, he goes out. If the owner dies, he goes out. Mashayim came beivriya. The Gemara will explain this soon. Yesh bevriya, and there's certain theme that apply by Amar Vriya. Shavriya yoytz b'simonim. When Avriya brings the simonim, she goes out. Ve'enim keres finishness. She can't be resold. Amafin loisabak karcha, and we redeem her by karcha. Again, the Gemara will explain against the will of the owner. We'll explain that also in the Gemara soon. Mashen kem bevri. Now the Gemara begins to analyze the Braisa. Omamar, yesh be'ivri shem be'vriya. There's certain halachos that apply by Eved Ivri, not by Omar Avriya. And the Gemara says, yoivul sheishonim mitzvah adam. For many, as the Gemara we learned in our Mishnah, you say, love Omar Avriya. Omar Avriya has all of the dinim, all of the ways that Eved Ivri goes out. Omar Avriya goes out, but also she can't ask my besimonim. So our Gemara clearly, our Mishnah clearly teaches us that all of these things that the Mishnah, the Brice excluded applying to Amar Vriya, do apply to Amar Vriya. Amar Rav Sheshes answers Rav Sheshes, our Brice is referring to a situation Kigon Shiyoda. As we know, and we will spend time learning those halachas, Yiyud, that the master, owner, or his son can be Miyad, her, could take her as a wife, and that's the case of our Mishnah. That's the case of this price, that there was yid already. Says the Gemara, yada, if he did yid, pshita, she's his full-fledged wife. And if she's his full-fledged wife, obviously, the only way to terminate that marriage is through a get, which is the only way to terminate a marriage. Says the Gemara, maritema, loy levata hukhsmina, that all of the halachas that apply to Amavriya going out should not stop because there was yud, kamashmon, that they do stop. Because as the Mefarshim explain, the Gemara in the Havamin is assuming, Rashmur Rozovsky explains this, the Gemara in the Havamin is assuming that yud is not really to be considered a marriage. Yud is to be considered a form of a way of terminating the avdus, of terminating the servitude. And just like all the other methods work, this method should work. Teaches us the Gemara that no, yield is considered a full-fledged marriage. And with that we could understand what Shmuel says, an obvious question. The question is, if not, how could the Gemara assume that there should be a temporary yield, that they'll be married until the term is up? It must be that the Gemara never, in the Havmina, never assumed yield to be a full-fledged marriage. Rather, the Gemara assumed yield to be another form of a termination of avdus. Says the Gemara, if that's the case of the Braisa, so then she's his full-fledged wife. And then why does the Braisa say, that she goes out with Simonim? Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Braisa. If there was no Yod, then Yoytzah b'Simonim. All the other methods that apply to an Eved Ivri going out will apply to her, plus Simonim. The Rishayim ask, why doesn't the Braisa speak about Ritzia, which we learned in the previous year, applies by the Eved Ivri, but does not apply by an Amar Vriya? Answer Rishonim, because our Braisa is speaking about methods of ending the Avdus. Ritzi is actually a method of continuing the Avdus. It continues the Braisa. Venenim keres finishness. She can't be sold more than once. Mechlal, says the Gemara, if the Braisa says that this is a halacha by Amar Vriya, Mechlal the Eved Ivri, Nimka v'nishna, he could be resold. For Tanya, ask the Gemara, the Prasuk says, B'gnei Vasai. And as the Ritva points out, the entire word B'gnei Vasai is superfluous. And therefore, it could teach us, it could have said Gneva, or with a hey, Gneva, with a vav, B'gnei Vasai. So it comes to teach us three halachas. One halach is, B'gnei Vasai b'lo k'feilai. We know that if somebody, Chas v'Shalom, is a ganef, he has to repay what he stole, plus pay kefil. If this person is able to repay the principal, but he's not able to pay kefil, that is not a reason to sell him. Kefil isn't the reason to sell him. Interestingly, there are paiskim that want to use this Gemara to teach us the following halacha. There was a person who borrowed money from someone else, $1,000. He had a guarantor who agreed to take on a guarantee of $500. Then the loiva was able to pay back $500, and the malva says the guarantor should pay the other five. So the guarantor says the 500 I guaranteed are the 500 that the loiva already paid, and therefore I have no obligation here. And the malva wants to say, no, you guaranteed the other 5. So the gemara wants to say, you can't identify. So the paiska want to say that the from our gemara we see they want to suggest that you can't identify what is what. Just like in this gemara, the gemara is saying, what is the? You can't say that he has the kefil and he doesn't have the keren, and therefore he should be sold. However, the Miches Chinuch says the proof is a weak proof. He says, by a geneva, the Torah gives a very specific order. First, the keren is paid, and then the kefil is paid. However, when we're repaying the loan, who says which is the first $500, which is the second $500? Furthermore, the geneva v'loibes mamay. We know the Torah says that if Edom say something false and they're proved to be Edom Zoyman, that they couldn't have testified what they saw, they were elsewhere. The Torah says, "Vasisim loy kasha zomim zomam lasis lachav." They should get what they wanted to do to someone else. So Rashi explains that if somebody comes and says that this person stole and he didn't have what to pay, and then it turns out that he's an Edom Zoyman, the Eid Zomim doesn't get sold. The Rambam has a different explanation. He says if they came and said that this person was convicted as a ganef and then sold as an Eved, and then he was turned into, and then they turned into Eid Zomim, again, the halach is, there is no din of kasher Zomim. Furthermore, the Mepharshim say, from here we see that sometimes you can have two people be sold because of one geneva. That means if two ganovim will steal and they can't repay, and we need to sell both of them in order to repay, then it would be. Because the Gemara is saying we need a special limud to exclude Edom Zomim. By Edom Zomim, by definition, are always two people. The geneva soy, furthermore, says the Braisa, kivin shenim kapam achas, once he was sold once, shavat rishoy lemachroy. So we clearly see from this Braisa that you don't sell an ever twice. So why is the Brisa saying it's only a din by Amavriya? Amar Rava like Kasha. Kan Geneva Achas. The second Brisa is referring when there was only one Geneva. If there was only one Geneva, but there wasn't enough to repay from the one being sold once, we don't sell him a second time. However, Kan B'shtei Genevas. If there was two separate acts of Geneva, then he would be resold. The word Geneva seems to mean that even if there were a number of Genevas, he should only be sold once. If he stole from one person, and he stole from that one person a number of times, and the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is, and then he stands trial for all of those Genevas at one time, even if the amount that we get for him is not equal to the value of all of these genevas, he's only sold once. But if he stole from a number of people, or even if he stole from one person, but he stood trial for each geneva separately, then he could be sold more than once. Tana Rabbanan continues the Gemara. The Braisa says, Geneva Elif, if he stole something worth $1,000, V'shava Chamesh Meis, and he's only worth $500, Nimkar V'chozav Nimkar, he could be sold and then resold. And again, the Rishonim point out, based on the circumstances that Abaya just taught us. However, Geneva Chamesh Meis, if he stole an item worth $500, and the person, the Ganef, is worth Elif, he's worth $1,000, then Ein Nimkar Klal. For as the Ritva explains, what would happen then is, since he's worth more than the item he stole, either he would be sold only for half of a term, which we know is not true because the Torah gives a minimum of 6 years, you can't have a 3-year term, or he would be in the category of a Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chayrim, which again the Torah doesn't mandate. The Torah mandates either he's an Eved or he's not an Eved. Rebbe Lezer has a much stricter, much more limited opinion. If he's equal to what he stole, then nimker. From lav, ain't a nimker. If he's worth more than the object he stole, or the object he stole is worth more than him, then he's not sold. Amar Rava, says Rava, Bahaza Chinul Rabbi Elazar Rabbanan. Rabbi Elazar was able to prevail over the Rabbanan with the following explanation. The Maishma Gneva Chamish Meis, the Shav Elif Dein and Nimker. Why, if he stole an item worth $500 and he's worth $1,000, that we don't sell him? The Nimker Kula Amrachmana. As we explained, he has to go completely into servitude, not have a situation of Chetzia. Hachinami Nimker B'gneivos Amrachmana. He has to be sold to pay off the Gneva, to pay off the entire Gneva, for Loi Nimker B'chatzi Gneivosoi, not to sell off part of the Gneva. Continues the Gemara. The Brisa said, we could force to have the Omer of Riyah freed against the will of the owner. So Rava thought, what does the Brisa mean to say? We could force the owner to accept an IOU for the Omer of Riyah. So Bais is mind you, what does Rava mean? As we just said, the Kasfina Lashtara Dameya, we could force the owner to accept a document that says that she'll eventually pay herself off. Says the Gemara, Mai, how could one suggest that that should be acceptable? Nokit Maginosa Biyode, he's holding a diamond on his hand. He's holding this Omer of Riyah, a very valuable asset. And he should accept a piece of paper that doesn't have any backing to it? Elam Abaya, what it means is, Bal Korche Da'av, we force the father to redeem her. Rashi means that the father is forced to redeem her. If he could afford it, because it brings disgrace to the entire family, that in the family there is an Omer of Riyah. Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi. Tosfos says what it means by Korach Da'av is that the other members of the family could force her to be, could redeem her and make the father accept it, even though now the father is going to have to support her. Says the Gemara, if that's the explanation, Yocha every nami, why not by an every also? Nitfina Lebein Mishpacha, why can't we force him to be freed? Again, isn't there a Pagam Mishpacha? Isn't there a disgrace to the family? And it says, the Gemara, we're not accomplishing anything. Because by every Ivri, Hadar Ozo, Amaz Menavshe, he'll sell himself again. So what are we accomplishing? Says the Gemara, so the same argument can be made by an Omer of Riyah. Hocha nami, why are we not concerned? The Hadar Ozo Mazmala, that she'll sell herself again. Says the Gemara, Haktani, we already learned. Ain in them Karas Venishnas. She isn't resold. So that concern doesn't exist. Omani, whose opinion does this Brisa follow? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimonhi. It follows the opinion of Rav Shimon. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Maiches Adam has pital issues. A father could sell his daughter into marriage more than once, and we'll explain when that's possible. L'shifchus, where he could sell his daughter into being an Omer of Riyah more than once. L'ishus achashifchus, after he sold his daughter to be an Omer of Riyah, he could still have the authority to marry her off. Ava loy l'shifchus achashifchus, once he married her off, he could not sell her to be a shifcha. Rav Shimon, however, Omer, just like once she was married, he can't sell her as a shivcha. Similarly, he cannot sell his daughter, his seller, to be an Omer of Riyah once she was once an Omer of Riyah. Says the Gemara, what is the machloikis that we just learned based on? Says the Gemara, pluk to the Hanya Tanoi. The Tanya, the pasuk says, regarding one who sells his daughter as an Omer of Riyah, la'am nachri la'yimsho l'machra b'big daba. So the question is, what is the definition of the word b'big daba? The Tanya b'big daba. Kivin shepirus talei salah. Rabbi Kiva holds that big daba means beged, which means as soon as he put his talus over her, shuvein rishay l'machra, he may not sell her again. Talus represents marriage, and in fact, the Rishash says, this is the source for the minig that a chassan by a wedding does badekung, that he puts a veil over the talis head, because that's what her marriage was done. Pirish talisa alel. Divrei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Elazar Omer, b'big daba, we follow the word big day to mean bogad, betrayed. Kivin shebogaba, once the father betrayed his daughter by selling her, shuvein rishal machroi, he may not sell her ever again as an Omer of Riyah. Says the Gemara b'Maika Mifki, what is the basis of the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar? Says the Marab Leza Sover, Yesh Eim L'Mesaris, we follow the way the word is written. Since the word is written, Bedigdoi, without a Yud, it should be explained as Bogad, betrayal, meaning that he was sold, that she was sold. V'kiva Sover Yesh Eim L'Mikra, we follow the way it's pronounced. Since it's pronounced with big doy, like beged, it means a talus, and it means once she was married, the father has no right to sell her. Shimon Sover, yesh eim lemikra ulamasar. We follow both. And therefore, Shimon says, whether she was once sold as a shivcha, whether she was once sold, or whether she was once married, the father loses the asari to sell her. Based on found the mikra masaris. Rashi points out that it's only in the case like our Gemara, where by following both the Mikra and Mesiris, there is really no contradiction. Both of these dinim could stand. That's why Rav Shimon follows the opinion that we go both after the Mikra and Mesiris. But in a situation, says Rashi brings such a Gemara Masech, the Sukkah, where the Mikra and Mesiris contradict each other, there Rav Shimon follows the Mikra. The Rishonim discuss, what is this terminology, this expression, Yesh Ein LaMikra, why we call it aim? So the Rif says that we find that the Torah sometimes uses the word binyan av, and sometimes we're saying yesh aim. So he says when we're trying to explain the pasuk, the explanation of the pasuk itself, we use the word binyan av. When we're trying to explain a derivative of what the pasuk means, we use the word aim. Rabbeinu Bechaya explains, Binyan Av is used when we're speaking about psukim that are in the Chumash, in the Torah. However, Yesh Eim L'Mikra, Yesh Eim L'Mesaris don't only apply to psukim in the Torah, they also apply to psukim in Nach, and therefore we could use, there the word Eim is used. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Boy Rabbi Baravua, yield when the husband or the father, or the owner or his son do yield. Does it nesua naisa? Does it create a situation of this girl be considered nesua to him or erisin naisa? Or does it create a situation of erisin? What's nafkamina? L'yarsha. To nesua, a husband yarshins. L'tamala. To nesua, if the husband's a kohen, he has to become tamei. Well, often the dara. Once she's nesua, the husband does hafar by himself. The Rishonim point out, I think we might have mentioned this, the Gemara doesn't mention Ksuba as a nafkamina, because our Gemara is following the opinion that even an Arusa is entitled to Ksuba. Furthermore, the Gemara doesn't point out that the difference would be regarding if she's an Arusa and she's Mizana, the punishment is Chenek, is Skila. By the Nesura punishment is Skila, because here, number one, she's possibly Ketana, furthermore she's a Bu'ula, and therefore her Halacha would be that under both circumstances she would get Chedek. Also the Gemara doesn't bring down a Nafkamina about Masi Yadel, what she earns, who keeps, because if she's not his wife, then she's his servant, and no matter what, the owner will be the one to receive the earnings. Mai, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara Toshma. We learned the big deba. Kivin Shapirish Talesa Aleo, once he married her, Shiv En Rishoy Lamachrod. The father can't sell her anymore. So what do we see from here? Zvuni Hudaloy Mazmanle. He has no longer a right to sell her. Hayuit Yudimiadla. He still has the right to marry her off. Says the Gemara, if we're going to suggest that Nesuin Isa, the Yud, creates a situation of Nesuin, Kivan the Nisus, if there was Nesuin, Shiv Ein Levi Rishuspa. We know that once a girl is Nesua, her father loses complete jurisdiction over her. Alav Shmamina, from here we see that all it does is Erisin, and that's why the Gemara, the Bryce has to teach us, he can or cannot be sold. Aram Nachma Yitzchak, Hocha Bekedushin the Almakai. The Braisa speaks about not the case of Yud, it's speaking about a regular situation where Ketana becomes Muresis. And what the Braisa is saying is Hachikomer, Kivin Shemasar Aviyah. Once a father gives her over, Lemishin Eschai Beksherik Susava Nasa, somebody who's provide a husband who has to give her food, clothing, and having relations on her, with her, shoven yachl machra, he may not sell her. But that doesn't prove anything to what yield accomplishes. Toshma, ein machra l'kroiven. A girl cannot be sold as an omer avriya to relatives. As we explained, and this opinion holds, that the only time a girl can be sold as an amavriya is where yiud will be able to take place. And if this girl is sold to relatives, yiud can't take place because they can't marry her. Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru Machra L'Kroivim. It isn't an impediment. Vishavin, everybody agrees, Shemachra Amana L'Kain Gadol, an Amana L'Kain Gadol, a Grush V'Chalut L'Kain Hedyet, where it's only a Chayiv V'Lavin for them to get married. And as we learned many times, Masechta Yevamos, Masechta Ksubis, Kedushin is effective in those cases. Therefore, everybody agrees to such people they can be sold. Ask Mar Hechidami, what is Hayamar Hechidami? Elaim the Kacha Nafsha, if it's talking about a case where she accepted Kedushin without her father's involvement, Amana Karalei, why is she called an Amana? She was really never married. If her father has the jurisdiction to marry her off, her marriage, her Kedushin, is a meaningless act. Ella, the Kachavia. It must be that her father married her off. Is the question is, me Matzah Masman law. So how could there be a question of the father selling her now? For we learned that ein odam moiches bita l'shifchas, a father cannot sell a daughter to be a shifcha acha ishus after she was given over marriage. We're referring to kedushin done through yud, and it's a following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. As we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir, what is the kedushin of yud? According to this explanation of Yosef Yehuda, when an owner does yud, the yud doesn't make her his wife retroactively with the original money that the owner gave to the father to purchase her. Rather, the yud is done now by releasing her from the obligation to work for the remainder of a term, which is considered like you give her money. So according to this, it's the amavriya, not her father, is the one who's accepting the money for the yud. And therefore, we can't assume that the father at all initiated the yud mas, the yud marriage. And therefore, according to this, he still has the right to sell her as a shifcha afterwards, after yid was done with her. Says the Gemara, but if we're going to suggest that nesun aisa, why could the father still sell her? We know the halach is kivin shenisa shuvein levi rishospa, the father has no right to sell her. Elamai, we're going to say rusun aisa, that yid only makes erusin. But this is also hard to understand. Could the b'risa says v'shavin shemachroi? Everybody says that she could be seller, but the halach is ha'irada meiches b'talach ishes. A father can't sell his daughter once she was even had erusin. Alamayis l'chameima. How we answer the b'risa? Shani erusin the day, erusin the vuud. We have to differentiate between an erusin that was initiated by the father, but then the father loses the right to sell her, versus an erusin that she initiated, that the father still retains the right to sell her. So if that, I feel a tame in the nesuin I saw, even if we say, then we could say that yid creates nesuin, and we'll again make the same distinction. Shani nesuin di da will make a distinction between the nesuin that she initiated, where the father can still sell her, versus the nesuin di via that he can't sell her. Says the Gemara, you can't make such a distinction. Hi, Mai. Bishlama, erusin, erusin. You could distinguish between different types of erusin. Erusin that she initiated versus an erusin that the father initiated. El nesuin, minasuin. All nesuin are the same. How can you differentiate? And Rashi explains that by nesuin, she leaves her father's jurisdiction, but not necessarily by erusin. Rashi, Tosfos, explains as follows. By erusin, we see that the Torah still gives the father some rights to her. He still is meifah hanadarim. So therefore we could start making differences between different types of erusin. By nesuin, we don't find such a thing. It says the Gemara, this entire explanation only is based, if we say that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that yud is not done with the money that the father received. Yud is done with money, with the forgiveness that the owner says he doesn't have to work for him. anymore going forward. However, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that says a filler of Yosef Yehuda, Mois Rishayus Lekedushin Nitnu. So then we don't have this explanation. But my Malkum Loi, how can we understand when the Brisa says that the father could sell his daughter who's an almana? Says the Gemara, he's going to have to explain it like Rabbi Elazar, like Rabbi Elazar. Damla Shifchas Achas Shifchas Hu Delay Matzim Mazben La. A father can't sell his daughter as a shifcha once he sold her as a shifcha once. Al shifchas achi ishes. If she was a wife, if he gave her to Erisin, there, matzil lazman lay, he could sell her. And as Rashi explains, the Gemara at the beginning did not want to explain the Braisa that it's following the opinion of Rebbe Lazar, because Rebbe Lazar shemutihi. Rebbe Lazar is considered somebody who follows the opinion of Beis Shammai. But now the Gemara had no option in being able to explain the Braisa in any other way, and so it says that it follows the opinion of Rebbe Lazar.